This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kate Gordon. Kate is Senior Advisor with the Department of Energy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Tony. It's great to be here.
Okay, a little background about Kate Gordon and how you ended up with DOE.
Absolutely. Well, I'm super excited to be here at the Department of Energy working with Secretary Granholm, who I've known for a really long time. So when she was governor of Michigan, I actually am from Wisconsin, and I was working in Wisconsin doing economic development work around clean energy kind of solutions in actually the whole Midwest region, including a lot of rural Midwest. And she was governor, and we worked together on a couple of initiatives back then. So when she got this position, I was incredibly excited to come and serve as a senior advisor to her. I focus here at the department on energy transition issues, so really thinking about areas of the country that are, for a variety of reasons, transitioning from existing industries. Some of those are fossil industries, and thinking about how to diversify those economies, how to make sure we're creating high-quality jobs, making sure we're really paying attention to revenues, tax revenues in these communities. And I'm pretty focused also on just the culture of many of these places that have been, in some cases, come into existence because of an extractive resource, because there was a coal seam, because there was oil. So this is a really kind of challenging transition for some places, but there's a lot of opportunity. So that's what I'm working on here. And just prior to this, I was in the California state government doing transition issues in California, including a lot of work in Kern County.
Well, it's maybe a perfect segue into the first big question I've got for you, because when we think of Department of Energy, we think of big things. But in rural areas, is there a focus on rural areas? And if so, what's your goal?
There's a whole administration-wide focus on rural areas. The president, actually, one of his first executive orders that he signed, talked about the need for the policies and programs of this administration to focus on underserved communities, and he very explicitly included rural areas in that definition. He more recently, across all of the government, kind of initiated a whole-of-government effort called the Rural Partner Network. We're part of that at DOE. That aligns federal resources across multiple agencies, creates rural desk officers and rural teams at multiple agencies, and it essentially just kind of focuses attention on new investments in field staff across the U.S. Because we really understand that that these areas are critical, that many are, again, kind of producing the resources and the goods that we use across the country. Some have lost sort of critical economic drivers for a bunch of reasons in the last few decades. There's a real focus in this administration on those communities. At the Department of Energy, it's interesting. We're in a really interesting moment right now, Tony. Our annual budget's around $45 billion, and the infrastructure bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill alone, directed $62 billion to the Department of Energy. So that is a huge infusion for us of infrastructure dollars that we're, privileged to be able to help administer. Those dollars are primarily focused actually not on kind of basic science and research, which is DOE's bread and butter, but on these big projects, demonstration projects, hubs. So direct air capture hubs, hydrogen hubs, carbon removal demonstration projects, a huge amount of investment into the grid, into EV networks. So across the board, we are focused on foundational infrastructure that makes economic development and the transition to clean energy economy possible all over the country. You can't do it without the grid. You can't do it without charging if you want to switch to electric vehicles. We're working very closely with Department of Transportation on that. So huge general focus across the administration. There's a couple of key programs here. I know we'll talk about one of them in a minute, which is the $1 billion for the Rural and Remote Program at DOE. But we're also focused on, I think really importantly, bringing the electrical grid into the 21st century. That's a lot of focus on grid resilience, which is a real issue in many rural areas, particularly because of wildfires. That's an $11 billion investment for states, tribes, and utilities to enhance the resilience of the grid against extreme weather, against cyber attacks, and to build out the grid to an additional $2.5 billion for transmission facilitation to make sure that power that's being produced in many rural areas, the wind power, the solar power, geothermal, nuclear, small-scale nuclear, that is be able to get to those really populated areas and create, you know, as a result, you know, wealth creation and investment into rural areas. So that's a big, big thing for us. One other thing I'll mention briefly is, again, the work with the Department of Transportation. This, we've developed this joint office of energy and transportation, $7.5 billion into expanding the national network of electric vehicle charging. There is a direct focus on filling gaps in rural and hard-to-reach locations in that program. So the administration cares, we care, we're very, very focused on these areas.
Okay, if I picked up in there, I heard $1 billion kind of set aside for rural, and I guess I'd throw remote areas in there. What are you talking about? Is there a plan?
Yeah, that's an exciting new program. So that's $1 billion, again, with a B. All of the numbers I've been saying have been in the billions here. This is a new program through the Department of Energy created by the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. And it's a program that is intended to improve energy resilience and reduce the environmental impact of energy generation in rural and remote areas of the U.S. The Congress in that provision defines rural and remote as communities with less than 10,000 inhabitants. So that is defined in the bill. And those communities across the U.S. will be eligible for a huge variety of energy demonstration dollars toward projects that reduce electricity costs, build transmission and distribution, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, microgrids, energy efficiency. It's a really, really flexible pool of money, which is exciting for us because it allows us to work with communities where they are. We're not making this a one-size-fits-all program. This is really about working in places with places to find out what their needs are, what pathways they want to be on, and supporting communities. So we are not yet out with our plan on this. We actually are going to meet with communities over the next few months to learn more about what the needs are out there, how we can best provide support. And we'll announce our first funding opportunities in the next coming months and more through fiscal year 2026. Actually, this is a multi-year program. So pretty exciting.
Now, I also have heard you mention here bioenergy. Mm-hmm. When we talk about bioenergy, maybe it's important to start by first, what are we defining as bioenergy? And then what's happening with DOE there?
Yeah, bioenergy is exciting. You know, I'm from Wisconsin and I spent a lot of time in California, both states with a lot of forested areas and a lot of agriculture. So they're both places with a lot of what we call feedstocks. So when we talk about bioenergy, we're really talking about that, you know, plant-based matter. So whether that's waste wood coming out of the forest management, whether that's agricultural waste, whether you're growing agricultural crops for energy production. That's the example everyone, of course, knows on that is corn ethanol, but there's lots of examples that are more recent on folks growing crops for energy production, for fuel production. So it's pretty exciting. The idea here is really, you know, how do we think about that kind of hard to decarbonize part of our energy sector. We're very focused on electrification, but there are things that are hard to electrify. So how do we think about liquid fuel? Bioenergy plays a big role there. And then also thinking about electricity, can we come up with sustainable ways to create electricity from these bioenergy feedstocks? So lots and lots of different things. It's not just one thing. Many different inputs into this system. Algae, too, actually, I didn't mention. So we have a bioenergy technology office, which people know as BETO, B-E-T-O. They have an ongoing program. It's about $260 million per year to develop technologies to convert biomass and these waste bioenergy resources into fuels and products to enable affordable, low-carbon energy, economic growth, innovation. A lot of that accrues to rural areas who, of course, are often, you know, the ones producing the trees, the crops, et cetera. This is, I think, really exciting because there's opportunities to, you know, create a secondary market for things like agriculture waste, for things like waste wood. That's another profit market that goes beyond that initial, you know, beyond timber, beyond commodity crops, specialty crops. And BETO does a diverse range of things. I want to focus on one really important thing that is an administration-wide commitment, which is the commitment to support the development of sustainable aviation fuel. At the end of last year, there was a sustainable aviation fuel grand challenge that was announced. That's the goal is to achieve a minimum of a 50% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions from conventional jet fuel. sustainable aviation fuel is a really big piece of that, and there is a huge opportunity there to develop these fuels from those waste woods, from that waste agricultural product, from these bioenergy fuel feedstocks. So we've allocated about $60 million specifically towards sustainable aviation fuel, a scale-up and demonstration projects. We're working closely with our Vehicle Technologies Office on these projects and across the administration with USDA and others as well. So I'm excited about this because living in California and being in that government for 3 years, I really was there for a lot of the wildfires. And I will tell you, we're putting a huge amount of public money into forest management if we can figure out a way that the wood coming out of those forests or coming out of agricultural lands, if we can figure out a way for that waste product to be converted into something really high value, like jet fuel, that is super exciting, I think, for a lot of rural parts of the country.
Kate, if we want to keep up with everything going on at the Department of Energy, can we find that online?
Yeah, absolutely. We are energy.gov. It's easy. I would say bookmark our bipartisan infrastructure law page, which is energy.gov/BIL. B as in, bipartisan, I infrastructure, L law. So energy.gov/BIL. And you can see there's a tab for funding opportunities. You can see every one of our announcements as they come out. Huge, huge opportunity right now through that bill just alone, and then, of course, through our regular programs. And again, that Bioenergy Technology Office has its own website, and it's a great resource as well.
Kate Gordon is Senior Advisor at the Department of Energy and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.